Welcome to the Daily Flow. Please welcome your host, John Coleman.
So today we're going to talk about policies, and we're talking about Kanban policies. I need to remind you what Kanban means from a Kanban guide's point of view. Kanban is a strategy for optimizing the flow of value through a process that uses the visual pull-based system. It is Kanban system members, a definition of workflow, three practices and four measures. Yesterday, the last episode, we covered that in quite a bit of depth. Today, we're going to talk about policies. What kind of policies am I talking about? Imagine you've got a workflow and you've got, say, some kind of a backlog column. And maybe you've got three kind of active in progress type columns. And then you've got a final column shipped or done or whatever the last state of your board is. And imagine that you've got a started point, which is between the backlog column and the first in progress, first active column. And imagine you've got a finished point that's between the third in progress column and the final done column. Between the started point and the finished point, we have work in progress. And we have a number of measures. One of them is cycle time. How long does it take an item to get from the started point to the finish point? We've got a measure for how many items are we delivering per time unit, that's known as throughput. We also look at how old are the items in the system. And of course, you've got work in progress, so four measures there. But even if you limit work in progress, if you control the amount of work in progress in the system, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to have good flow of work. And there's a few reasons for that. And today we're going to talk about policies. And in Kanban, the policies that we apply are explicit policies. They're explicit in that usually they're written down. They're at least accessible to the Kanban system members. So we essentially write down our assumptions. We might discover there's a gap in our shared assumptions. And by writing down these explicit policies, we're trying to reduce the room for error in terms of misunderstanding and so on. So we're going to look at some policies today in terms of how could some of these policies help you? How could you improve the flow of work onto your system? The most common policies would be some kind of replenishment or start policy. So how do we decide when work gets brought into the system from the backlog column in this case, and also which items from that backlog column would you select next? You might have a pull or a move policy. So which of all the items that are in progress today, which items are we going to move today? Which ones are we going to work on today? You might have a blocked policy deciding when is an item blocked. That might appear to be obvious, but you'd be amazed how many conversations I have with people about what does blocked mean. So you could just write a policy for that. What does blocked mean for your Kanban system members, and what do you do when an item is blocked? There's also, of course, the work in progress limits their policy as well. And there's really no shortage of ideas for policies in the addendum for Kanban guide. If you go to kanbanguides.org, if you look at the addendum, you will see lots of different examples of potential policies that you could use on a Kanban board. So let's look at some examples, shall we? So if we take an example of improvement policy, so when teams are working together, when people are working together, it usually makes sense to every now and again review how we're working. I call this an improvement policy. You can call it a retrospective policy if you want. So a sample improvement policy may be agreed by some Kanban system members might be something like the following. Hold a fortnightly data-informed retrospective. So look at the charts, look at the analytics. Reflect on previous improvement agreements. Did you actually implement those agreements. On a different episode, I talked about what's the smallest thing that you can change. Maybe change one thing at a time to allow time to assess impact, because if you change a number of things at the same time, how do you know which intervention actually made a difference? Look for opportunities to stretch the definition of workflow upstream and or maybe downstream, and maybe even connecting definition of workflow with other definitions of workflow upstream or downstream. There might be other teams. How can we stretch our sphere of influence, if you like, our span of control more upstream? Because a lot of the time when you're trying to optimize flow, the flow issues aren't on our own board. Typically, there's a kind of a more systemic issue, and you need to be looking more upstream and more downstream to see what's going on there. Maybe mix up the retrospective style on each occasion if you decide to do it. You don't have to do retrospectives in Kanban. I think a decent team, a decent Kanban system members would do some form of retrospective on a regular basis. More importantly, they're actually making some improvements. It's nice to have some kind of retrospective or improvement policy to be clear about what our expectations are, because in the absence of events that are specified in the guide, maybe in our policies, we can say, okay, we do a retrospective every 2 weeks, something like that. How about another one? So a sample visualization policy that might be agreed by Kanban system members. The only limit really is your imagination here, but here's an example. Indicate work item age. Start point one date on each item. So if you have a date stamp got on a physical card, you might actually put the date stamp for the start date when it went into the first in progress column. And you might have another date stamp for when it leaves the last in progress column, goes into the done column, capturing the cycle time. When you get the difference and you add one, because if we start something and finish something on the same day, we don't say the cycle time is zero. Blocked items have a red or pink sticky magnet, and maybe the number of days blocked indication as well. So if something is blocked, how long has it been blocked? And maybe we're going to use the color in this case to indicate the global region that this work is for. You could use color for anything. You could use it for work item type, for customer, for all sorts. In the addendum to Kanban guide, we give all sorts of suggestions about how you can use that. This is an example visualization policy. What about controlling WIP? So how do we control WIP? So maybe we control the number of work items between the start point and the finish point, and we make that less than the number of Kanban system members to try and encourage some collaboration. So we often think that we're not going to be busy if everyone doesn't have an item. The thing is that we're really trying to manage the work, not the workers. And so having a work in progress limit that's less than the number of Kanban system members can be a good thing. What about a replenishment or start policy? Well, how about maybe trading off potential value, maybe aiming for 80% of the outcomes for 20% of the outputs? Potentially looking at cost of delay. If you have two items that both worth 5 million, you deliver one next year, you get nothing. You deliver the other next year, you still get the whole 5 million. Well, maybe we can delay the one that we'll still get the 5 million next year, because we can afford to delay that, but we can't afford to delay the one where it burns off very quickly. Start the number of items that finish on a given day. So for delivering 1 to 2 items per day, maybe we should be bringing in 1 to 2 items per day. Exception to that being when the system's already overloaded. Maybe you turn off the tap. I did an episode on that. Review outcomes through data and conversations with the affected parties to inform prioritization. So with Kanban, we are trying to deliver value. And a lot of the time when we've got work items, they have potential value. We don't really know how valuable they are until we get some feedback. And that could be societal value, could be customer end user value, all sorts of different types of value. But we do need to be maybe checking in on that. So you could have on your replenishment policy that we are checking in that the stuff that we're delivering, it is working. It might inform our decision making on whether we need to do more experiments if some of the value is actually quite risky and we need to do some more kind of UX testing to check if we're on the right track. How about a collaboration policy? So how about Kanban system members pairing or swarming to focus and get some work done? Do we all have to be in our individual silos within the group, within the team? Maybe not. So that's something we can look at. You could also look at mobbing So you might have heard of mob programming. Look it up on YouTube if you haven't heard of it. Woody Zuhl is the guy who kind of is the thought leader on that topic. Essentially, everybody working on one computer, looking at what's happening and taking turns at the keyboard, basically maybe swapping screen share if you're on Zoom or something. How about a blocked policy? So an item that cannot be worked on is blocked. That's what this set of Kanban system members agreed. For someone else, it might be a different policy. And a blocked visual indication is added to the item and placed on the workflow. In other words, we don't have any blocked column. I did an episode on that. Treat blocked items as a danger to work item aging. And without exception, WIP limits include blocked items. But you could have it in your blocked policy that there might be some edge cases where you made all the phone calls, you shook all the trees, nothing's happening. We're even thinking of canceling the item. It's been 60 days. You might then put traffic cones around it and say, okay, we need to consider what's going on here, but it looks like we need to put more work bypassing this. But ordinarily, WIP limits would include blocked items. How about a pull or move policy? So maybe we want to trade off finishing items, unblocking blocked items. Maybe we want to avoid work item aging by basically finishing work in the order that we start them, really. But really, if you look at work item aging, if you look at the work item aging chart and see if you can focus on the ones that are kind of going to the red or the amber, maybe even the yellow, if you're running out of red and amber items. And if everything is in the green, we're good. And then you can focus on finishing work. But you also need to make sure that we're not starving the system or we're not overloading the system. So maybe if an item is started, we should just finish it. So these are just some examples of some policies. It's really up to the Kanban system members to decide what the policies should be, which policies they have, what the content of those policies are. It's a good practice, I would say, to review those policies in something like a retrospective, but you can change these policies at any time, really. They're just some ideas for you. If you want more ideas, check out the addendum and Kanban Guide. Go to kanbanguides.org. Thank you.
Got a question for us? Leave a voice message at anchor.fm/dailyflow/message, and we'll feature it as well as provide you with an answer.